Welcome back to the Sonic Truth Podcast. This week, we welcome Brian Barletta to the show. Brian founded and runs Sounds Profitable, a free weekly newsletter about ad tech in podcasting. Every brand that is not leveraging podcasting to its fullest potential or not marketing on the channel at all yet should definitely get to know Brian. Welcome back to the Sonic Truth.
Brian, welcome to the Sonic Truth Podcast. It's exciting to have you here today. We know each other a little bit, but I want to learn more about you today, and hopefully our listeners will get that chance as well. Tell us a little bit about yourself and who you are.
Yeah, thanks for having me here. So I'm Brian Barletta. I run Sounds Profitable, which is a weekly newsletter and podcast all about podcast advertising and podcast ad tech. I have been running the newsletter since September 2020. Where I kind of kicked off the desire to be a sales engineer and educator for the entire podcast industry, because I believe that podcast ad tech is incredibly accessible because of how, not insultingly, but basic it is. It's very easy for anybody to use. The same thing that an entry-level person uses is the same thing that, you know, Q-Code uses. It's the same platform. So my goal has been to educate people as much as possible. And my background before that was I've been working in ad tech for about 13 years as a product manager or sales engineer. And I did digital for a long time, about half that career, and then was in podcasting at Barometric, which was acquired by Claritas for podcast attribution. And then I was the senior product manager of data and monetization at Megaphone, handling the ad server and being a sales engineer for their entire MTM team, which was their Megaphone targeted marketplace.
Cool. And so, interesting history. So I want to dive into that a little bit. So first off, like, let's start before we get to why you started Sounds Profitable. Why did the audio world grab you? How did, Barometric and then at Megaphone, like, you know, what did you feel about the audio space? Was it something that you just stumbled into? Was it something that you felt had a gravitational pull? Like, how did you end up there? And what do you think about it?
I spent a little bit of time reflecting on how I got into podcasts and audio. I'm a terrible reader, and audiobooks really helped me pull into it. And I really enjoyed them. Somewhere around 2011, there was a podcast I fell into that I'm blanking out on the name now, but it was like a variety show. And I really liked that. I went through my terrible 20s phase where I listened to, you know, Tim Ferriss, bought a lot of MeUndies. And then Serial really hit it off. I remember we were at AdTheorent, which was the company that Barometric split off from. It was a digital DSP. And I was told about Serial. And it's very funny because I got a Facebook memory this month for 7 years ago, and it just said Serial. And half the people responded back like, oh my God, I know. And the other people like had no idea what it was. It was very interesting to reflect on the fact that Serial came out about 2 months after the Apple Podcast app became native in the phone and really set off that movement for so many people. And so at AdTheorent, when we split off to Barometric, a fantastic salesperson, Matt Drangler, who's now at PodSites, he was asked by Progressive Auto Insurance and WNYC, like, hey, can we do attribution in podcasting? And before I could say, I don't know, he said, of course we can. And then Barometric slowly shifted to handle podcast attribution.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. We built the first lift reports in podcasts. We built all of that stuff. And it was very, very cool. I don't think Matt gets enough credit for forcing all of us into it. but it just overnight, it became something that like we got a lot of interest. There was nobody else doing it. And to really enjoy the space and really do it, I needed to understand it from a listener's perspective. And I kind of just became obsessed from that point forward.
So you were really a user in at the beginning of podcasts, but audiobooks kind of got you there. You know, audiobooks don't get enough credit. Like for me, it's been a game changer. Like I wish, you know, audiobooks were accessible in the way they are today when I was in high school and college. Yeah. I'm so much better in that world, but also like you can consume so much more. Like, you know, you're not carrying a bag of books on a plane with you or on a train, but there's also a much better connection I found. And audiobooks definitely, people always say this podcast or that podcast, but audiobooks kind of got there first.
I reflected on Brandon Sanderson is a book series that I'd never pick up and read because it's just so long. I've listened to over 200 hours from just one of his series, 4 books, 50 hours per book minimum, right? 200 hours for one author, and I just devoured it. And I would have never picked that up before.
It doesn't seem that bad, but if you handed me like this giant book.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like, when am I going to find time to read that? You know, and it's like, while I'm driving, while I'm doing this. It's so.
Exactly.
So audio to podcast. So we went from the what's a podcast to podcast being everywhere now, it seems. So you're now at Barometric and then Megaphone. What led you kind of to say, all right, I'm going to do something entrepreneurial. So now you're in on audio. You're kind of have seen the growth of the industry. You've seen measurement grow kind of underneath you. Why leave and start something on your own? Like, give us a little bit of insight into that entrepreneurial journey.
I think that in all of technology, all of the tech industry, I think that the middle management aspect, the managers, directors, VPs, are a title now that comes more from having been in a space for a while and getting a clear promotion. I don't think we have like a really good title for a sole contributor or someone who's been there a while who deserves that growth path. And I, you know, I don't think we're training people as well as we need to. I mean, heck, I got angry the other day because my groceries were packed wrong. And then I asked, just very politely, asked the person bagging the groceries, like, do they still teach how to go through that, right? Do they teach you what not to put with the eggs? And they said, I didn't get any training. Went to a restaurant and someone asked me how my meal was within 2 minutes. And I said, 2 bites, 2 minutes, right? Did they teach you that? And they said, nope, nobody trained us. We were just told to hit the ground running. And I saw that hole and I saw that the opportunities I had from just raising my hand and being persistent and kind of not getting along well with a lot of people I worked with because I wanted to do more. I wanted to learn more. I wanted to expand past my role. And I realized that a lot of people won't do that. So I wanted to make sure that these entry-level people in podcasting were equipped to become managers. And I wanted to equip the managers with additional information for what Pod News is and why you should read it each day, what Sounds Profitable is and how you can apply those thoughts on there. And I wanted to just educate the lower and mid-tier of the industry because the C-levels, the executives, are all the ones that are relying on us to get the job done, and we're just not given those resources. I literally, in my career, have never used the educational bonus that any company has given me because when do you have the time? You're not going to take that on your own time, right? There's no one's going to carve out that space. And so this is my attempt at trying to fix this. This was my real goal.
So you definitely have that in your DNA, it sounds like, as an entrepreneur myself. It's like stuff bothers you and you just want to... You just want to fix it, which is like it's like a hardwired DNA element. And more specifically, Sounds Profitable. You know, I'm obviously a fan, partly because it's a topic that I live and breathe every day. And have a forum where that discussion can occur has been a godsend, right? It's like, all right, nobody is having this conversation out in the open. And how do you feel about filling that void, right? There's definitely something there where it's like there's this intersection of marketing. And you can call it podcasts, but it's really audio in general, right? Audio advertising or just the way brands use sound, the way people use sound to reach an audience. Like there's that intersection there and no one's in that intersection kind of out in public. I think a lot of people pass through there, but nobody's talking to each other. So how do you feel? Do you feel a responsibility? Have you felt a lot of people calling you up and thanking you? Like, what is it like to be filling that void and where do you see it going from here?
Yeah, that is a heavy question. I think it's a heavy question.
You can take your time.
The big thing about all of it is that like everybody who has a strong opinion in this space works for a company that's selling something. And I am not aware of anybody else talking about the ad tech or advertising who's not selling anything. I am selling sponsorship. I am selling consulting, but no, like the individual can't buy anything from me. Right? No one's ever going to be charged to absorb content from me. I'm not never going to do like paid content in there. I do the deep dives, but that's a separate thing. My newsletter is all like, here's an aspect of the industry that's really important that you need to learn about. Here's a bunch of companies that are involved in it. You should be talking to them. You should be thinking about this. And I think that's where it's really won people over that I'm not selling anything. I'm completely agnostic there. It's been really great. I've got a lot of positive response from it. I get a lot of thank yous. I get a lot of additional questions, which I love to field and work on. And it made me realize that there's even more of a hole that I can fill, right? We're not onboarding people into this industry correctly, and we're just poaching from companies and people in the space already. So what I'm realizing is I'm taking that positive feedback and I'm going to build it into an educational course, something that every company can freely use in the space so that we can onboard new people that don't have a podcast background, don't have an audio background, maybe not even have an advertising background, where we can say, here's the 101. Thank you for coming in with your sales experience with out of home or newspaper or whatever. And they can feel like they're part of it. And, yeah, it's been very motivating, and I've gotten a lot of great feedback from it.
It's definitely in a place now where I think education, you're right. I mean, education is a big part of it because it's maturing, right? So like, it's not just like I took a flyer on a podcast ad campaign or you know, this is a rounding error to me. Like this is a lot of people's lives and jobs now. I think that will continue. Even at Veritonic, just how many people we've hired, you know, or just other businesses are all growing. So now there's more at stake. And the audience is there. It's a big audience. And so like that audience is also growing. So it's a lot of people growing up into the space, a lot of more money being spent. And to your point, yes, everybody is buying and selling something, but that's what makes an industry, right? Everything is sort of a barter if you think about it, even though there might be cash exchanged, like it's like we're getting knowledge so that we can reach our audience. Like there's pieces in there. Do you see like a world where I don't know how you do it all yourself?
Lots of coffee.
Do you see yourself expanding the business or other things that you think could expand? You know, because I think there's a lot of greenfield in front of you. So just me personally, but like, you know, where do you see that going in the next 1 to 2 years?
Yeah, it's very funny because it started as a way to just talk and be relevant in the space while I figured out what I wanted to do next after Megaphone. Like, these are all the things that I'm talking about here are things that I have upset previous bosses about talking about out loud, because when you're from one company, it makes you look bad when you say like, this isn't the right way to do things. There are better ways. But when you're agnostic, when you're separate from the whole space, like it's really cool because every company can be like, oh, we agree with that. And now we have, like, it's my fault, right? If nobody, no individual gets in trouble from agreeing with it. I want to expand, right? I have the four articles or one article a week. I have the podcast. We have Ariel Nissenblatt is my co-host now on the podcast, which has been really great. It's helped a ton to make sure that I'm not getting too alien or too, floating into space with how I explain things. We're expanding into like a research tool that's going to be completely free. Everybody, including Veritonic, puts out these amazing studies every single quarter or half or year. And the problem is that 2 weeks later, people forget about them. And they shouldn't. So I'm working on building a database that strips down every individual page and tags it completely so that you can search and you can say, well, what were women listening to in 2019 in podcasting that were 18 to 34? What trends do we know about them? And it'll be able to show you all the reports that were out there and encourage you to go download them from the source and cite them. Like, I want to make sure that data is out there. And so I'm going to be hiring someone to help with that. The educational course, I have all the information in my head. I definitely want to narrate it and build it out there, but I really am going to need someone to help me design that educational course and the certification, both of which are going to be completely free. Same with the research database. So I am looking to expand, and I'm just kind of trying to figure out a flow with the articles and the podcasts and everything and get it more comfortable. But the biggest thing is that the backbone of Sounds Profitable is kind of consulting, right? All of my sponsors get 1 hour of consulting, and I don't know if I'll ever be able to pass that off. And I don't think I want to, because that conversation leads to more ideas, and I should pass off the downstream of that. Because my experience, I can train somebody on podcast ad tech to understand the tools as well as I do in 48 hours. I truly believe that. But my experience is I messed up millions of dollars of ad campaigns. And I've learned from that. And that's not something you ever want to speed run anybody through. So I don't know if necessarily I'm going to be able to put somebody on the phone to handle consulting on that end. But Sounds Profitable will continue to grow. And I'm really excited about the potential there. And really excited about highlighting amazing content out there that gets passed over because people think that it's biased and siloed. And to segue into this, and you didn't pay me for this. Just kidding. The Veritonic puts out amazing studies, and the problem that I found is that people look at it and say, oh, this is about Veritonic clients, and some of it is, but a lot of the Veritonic stuff that you put out is just pure thought leadership information that can be applied to everything. And so now that Sounds Profitable has grown, a lot of it doesn't have to be my unique idea. It has to just be, I've read this amazing thing. None of you should be sleeping on this. All of you should read this. And it doesn't even matter if you are a direct competitor to Veritonic. The information they put out here justifies your business, solidifies your ability to land a new client. And you need to know about this. And right. That's the evolution that hopefully is going to allow me to sleep a little bit better at night.
Yeah. No, and the fact that you're doing the consulting, I mean, to me, it's a benefit to the companies, but there's a student-teacher aspect to that on both sides, right? And so you're getting this, you're plugged in, right? And the companies are plugged into your mindset and kind of what's going on with you, but then you're plugged into theirs as well.
Yeah.
And I am a firm believer it is not a zero-sum game. I think, like, if there's going to be successful audio advertising, there's going to have to be better creative. There's going to have to be better measurement. There's going to have to be new ways of doing things that get embraced at some point, right? And there may be different companies that provide that technology or services. I'm sure there will be many.
Yeah.
Right? Hopefully there's twice as many next year as there are right now.
I agree.
What also helps us figure out what to focus on, too. Like, I think there's only so many people we can talk to, and we're always going to be biased. If I'm talking to somebody, they're inherently going to be like, well, he's trying to sell me something. Whatever. Whatever my problem is, he's got the solution for it, no matter what I say. And I think, like, getting that unbiased information or having that conversation have more in, like, a salon type setting where you have, like, people around talking about it. We have resources, right? We've been doing this for a while. There's lots of companies that have resources. Like, what are we going to build next? Right? What are we going to focus on next? Like, what's going to take it to the next level? If we don't, the more information we have about that, the better it is for everybody. That's probably a good segue to the next thing I want to talk to you about. We heard about Sounds Profitable and what you're doing. Where do you see the space going a little more broadly?
I think that the next stage for podcast advertising is going to be some of the tools that, like, Anchor is putting out with the ease for entry-level people to get involved and be able to get ads right away. It's 50 listens is enough to get an Anchor host read sponsorship for Anchor. So 20 episodes at 50 listeners will get you $15 or around that. Not great, but that's like, but just think about it, right? That's, you just taught somebody the first aspect to get into podcasting. You handed them a check. It's host read, so it's better than programmatic, which I think programmatic ads are fantastic, but I think that there's something cool about being encouraged as a small podcaster that, like, you are responsible for the ads and to teach them, that treats them in a way that they're motivated to become a business instead of just an individual show. And that path goes up. You compare that to YouTube, right? You need 4,000 hours played of your content and 1,000 or 10,000 subscribers. A substantial difference, right? A big gap to immediately just get the programmatic ads. Anchor's doing a really great job here. I think from there, where you have the whole industry trying to capture that next step, right? Some can try and compete with that. I personally wouldn't want to compete with that much of a long tail on that end, at least on HostRed, but there'll be programmatic partners that compete with that. Then that mid-tier, when we become a business, the whole industry is poised to grab those people and really run with it. We're going to see more publishers kind of take ownership of their content and weave it together. So the content is more about sponsorship than advertisement. So that's going to be the big divide, right? When you hear ads that don't resonate with the content, that's going to be how we define long tail. And I think that's going to be a lot of the mid that we talk about now, all the way to the entry level. And then the ads that really feel built in there, not just how they're handled by the host and they flow into the content, but how they align directly with the content will be what we call, like, premium or high end, which, I mean, makes sense. In podcasting, this podcast right here is in the same category because it's a podcast with the shows that Q-Code makes that are optioned into movies. That's a wide gamut, right? When we think about the content in YouTube, it doesn't relate directly to the movies in HBO Max. So we're going to see podcast advertising have a strong hand in funding the different types of content out there and really defining that line, I think. Next year, I think we're going to see a lot more programmatic, and I think we're going to see the greater advertising space push into podcasting, and hopefully they leave their disagreements with downloads not being enough, because listen, we can't get you more than that. We would love to, but Apple, Spotify, Google, and Amazon are the ones holding on to that information. So ask them. We'll gladly pass it back to you. And I think that how DSPs and SSPs communicate in podcasting, that doesn't work like digital. And so we're going to move away, hopefully, from making excuses and just kind of fudging it and hacking it so that it works, to actually building that out so that we can grow that space. So that's my long-winded way of saying I think advertising is really going to split for the better, and the technology needs to step it up, and we need to stop kind of being negative to the podcast space. We're here and we're growing and we're doing just fine.
There's a a long way to go. And, you know, being in the, you know, biased and in the business on just measurement and accountability and some of the things that need to happen. And even the best solutions today are still not going to cut it in an industry that's 10 times the size that it is today if that day comes. If I'm a brand, I'm not a DR advertiser, direct response advertiser who's been doing podcasts for a little bit. I'm Pepsi or Coca-Cola or Home Depot or some kind of national brand. What would you say to somebody, say, if they said to you, hey, Brian, I'm thinking about podcasts. I love this podcast that I listen to, whatever it is. I'm thinking about doing that for my company. What advice would you give somebody at a large brand who's not touched podcasting yet?
I think there are a ton of really great branded content shops out there that I absolutely recommend that any brand talk to, because branded content is advertising. You own all of it, right? You own the media and you own the ad in there. You don't have to worry about competitors getting in there or anything like that. Look at BetterHelp is making their own podcast series. So they're everywhere advertising wise, but they decided they wanted to shape the content to flow with their messaging. So that means their messaging can be even lighter, because the content resonates with the goals that they want. I think it's very smart, and I think you can learn from a lot of the best in the space. Pacific Content is a great example of that. How they, like their Rocket Mortgage-based one is fantastic because it doesn't sell mortgages that hard. It talks about being a homeowner, being a buyer.
Well, listen, thank you for giving us the time to talk to you and learn more about what you're doing. Just for our listeners, tell everybody where they can find you if they're interested in learning about Sounds Profitable or learning about working with you. Where's the best place to find you?
Absolutely. So you can go to soundsprofitable.com. You can find the podcast, the newsletter. We do a Podscape that shows the whole industry on there. You can email me, brian@soundsprofitable.com. I spell it with a Y, but I set the catch up with an I as well. And you can find me, Brian Barletta, on Twitter. And I completely am serious about this. I love talking about this. I have a half an hour for every person who is serious about this, every company that wants to take this serious, because I want you in this space, because we can only continue to grow. We can only continue to hire more people. We can only continue to be taken seriously if you come here. Advertisers are needed. Ad tech companies that span outside of podcasting are needed. And I absolutely want to make you feel welcome and make you connected to the whole space.
Awesome. Well, I personally am grateful. Here at Veritonic, and just as a person, I've enjoyed working with you. So thank you, Brian, for being on the Sonic Truth.
Yeah, thanks for having me.